It is so good to be back here with you. Been here in a variety of settings with you over the years, and I feel like I'm among friends, and that's a good, good feeling. There is a warmth and a love in this congregation that is unique and very special, and every time I come here, I feel it with you and from you. Thank you so much. I like the story about a young minister who got married. On the day that he got married, his wife said to him, "I want you to make a promise to me." He said, "Okay, I will. Don't ever, ever look under our bed at the box that is there." He didn't understand, but he agreed to do that. So the years went by, and after about 10 years, he just couldn't contain himself anymore. When she was away from the house one day, he decided to reach under the bed, get the box, and open it up. And he was surprised to find in the box 3 eggs and $5,000. Well, he was confused, so when she got home, he confessed that he had opened the box. And he said, "But I don't understand about the 3 eggs and the money there." And she said, "Oh, well, I decided early on that every time you preached a bad sermon, I would put an egg in the box." Well, he was very, very happy and proud. 10 years and only 3 eggs, that's quite good. And he was really feeling good. Then he said, But what about the $5,000 in the box?" And she said, "Oh, every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them." Well, I did make my wife promise not to ever look under a box under our bed, have a box under our bed. And there are all kinds of experiences that humble us, whether we're ministers or not. But it's just good to be here with you. I was born into a very devout Methodist family in Arcadia, Florida. And my mother started taking me to church with her when I was 2 weeks old. She would make sure I had a clean diaper, she tells me, and was well fed. And because our church was small, there was no nursery. So she would sit in the sanctuary with me. And she would hold me and kind of just rock me gently and try to keep me quiet. And she said, I did very, very well. So I got an early start on learning how to sleep through sermons. And ever since then, as a minister, I've been trying to keep people awake during sermons. So today we're going to be thinking together about making sense of life's changes. Some of you remember the movie, and you've seen it, The Lion King. Well, you remember the mandrill monkey, Rafiki, in that movie? He was kind of a smart-alecky, almost like a philosophical character. And he was speaking one day to Simba, the young lion, who had been away from his home for some period of time and was afraid to go back home because everything had changed. It wouldn't be the same. And the mandrill monkey, Rafiki, hits him over the head with his stick and says to him, "Change is good. And you need to be willing to go back home." Well, he was right. Change is good, but he should have added, change is also hard. But change is a part of all of our lives. You and I have been changing since the moment we were born, and we still are changing. Some changes are big. Some are dramatic. Some are life-altering. Some make a big difference in our lives. Some are small and incremental, and we hardly notice them. But they're there, aren't they? And So we all have to deal with changes in our lives. And the way in which we handle change has a lot to do with the quality of our lives. And so I want us to think together today about making sense of those changes. There was a family that whose elderly mother was getting senile and forgetful. So they took her to a therapist to have her checked out to see exactly where she was in that regard. And so the therapist sat down and gave her some questions. And one of the questions was, what 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? And she said, oh, that's easy. It's today and tomorrow. Well, you know, she really got it right, didn't she? It's a wise answer, more than perhaps we might have expected. Because actually, all any of us have in life is today and tomorrow. Maybe. I heard that, and that is true. But we can't go any further than that, can we? We have today, and maybe we'll have tomorrow. Life is a series, a continuous series of today's and tomorrow. But that's not the whole picture of the flow of life. There's one thing to add between today and tomorrow, and that is tonight. Tonight. Every one of us has to experience a tonight before we can move from today to tomorrow. And tonight is very, very important. It's the time, that interim period between today and tomorrow, when you sleep, and every single one of us has to do that. You cannot get from today to tomorrow without sleep, without refreshing your body, your mind. It's kind of that neutral zone, that interim period of time between today and tomorrow. And it's teaching us, our bodies, our life is teaching us that a part of change is that interim period between where you are and where you will be. And you cannot get from here to there without going through that interim period. So life is teaching you how to deal with change. And it's teaching you every single day. You have today, then tonight, and then tomorrow. Now, I was fortunate enough to be born and raised in Arcadia, Florida. Felt like it was the best place in the whole world. In fact, we called ourselves the center of the universe because Arcadia was so small and isolated that it was 50 miles before you got to anything when you left Arcadia. But one of those 50 miles was going west and ending up in Sarasota, Florida. And the reason that Sarasota was important to me as a child was it was the winter home of the Ringling Brothers Circus. And every year, we would go over in the wintertime to Sarasota for one time and see the mini circus that the performers would put on. Now, in those days, and this is aging myself, the circus was not held in these big indoor arenas that we now have all over the United States. They were held outside with big tents. And you remember those, don't you? And in the winter, it was too cold to set up tents and snow and ice and so forth in various parts of the country. So the circus would have its winter home in Sarasota. And we would always go to it once a year. That was the highlight of my childhood. Which shows you how little there was to do in Arcadia. But the thing that I loved the most and was most fascinated by in the circus was the trapeze artists. they would get up high above us where we would be sitting, and the trapeze would be going back and forth, and they'd have one trapeze here and one over here, and one of the trapeze artists would be swinging back and forth over here, hanging on, and over here there would be the catcher that would catch the person, and you remember how they would have their legs hooked over the trapeze bar, and they would be swinging back and forth, and all of a sudden, as you watch this, the first person would let go of their trapeze and go flying through the air to the other person who was supposed to catch them, and usually did, thank goodness. I remember the gasp that I would feel inside of me, that moment when they let go of the trapeze, and you don't know, is that other person going to catch them or not catch them? Are they going to be all right or not all right? And that has stayed with me through the years and kind of become a metaphor for me on how to deal with change in life. And there's three steps. And the trapeze artist taught me this. The first step is to learn to let go. I noticed that you could not get from this trapeze to this trapeze unless you let go of the first one. If you tried to hang on to this one and grab that one at the same time, you could never do it. Or if you were successful, you'd be hanging in the air like this between the two, and that would not be fun at all. Two little boys got into a fight. And one came into the house and said to his mother, "I'm never going to play with Tommy again. He's mean." And then the next day, she saw Tommy and her son playing out in the backyard as happy as could be. And then her son came into the house and she said, "I thought you said you were never going to play with Tommy again. What happened?" And he said to her, "Me and Tommy, we're good forgetters." Well, we need to be good forgetters in some ways to let go of the past instead of hanging on to it. Sometimes we like to hang on, or we find ourselves hanging on to resentments from the past, bitterness about the past, anger, jealousy, envy, past mistakes that we regret making, and we still hang on to them and feel bad about them, and we just carry these negative feelings around through the years. And that's like carrying a huge burden on your shoulders that you don't need. It's like having a painful disease that you can't get rid of, these negative feelings about the past. Or it could be the other side. It could be the positive feelings. Maybe wishing for the good old days, thinking back, oh, life was so good then and now it's not so good, and kind of dreaming about the past and hanging on to the past as if that was the best time of life. We have to learn to let it go. And that's the first step of dealing with change, is to let go of the past so that you can be free to move forward into the future that lies ahead. Now, we can have a healthy gratitude for the past. In fact, that's the best way to think of the past, is just being grateful for the past, grateful for the pleasant and happy times that you've had, the good things that have happened in your life in the past. And you can also be grateful for the lessons that you've learned from the mistakes you've made. You had some mistakes, you've made some errors along the way. You haven't been perfect. I think I can say that safely about every one of us in here. I know I can for me. But you can be grateful for what you've learned from the past and what's happened and how you're a better person for what you've experienced and been through in the past. But don't dwell on the past. Don't try to live in the past. If you never let go of that first trapeze, you will never get to the other one, to the next step and next stage in your life, that what lies ahead of you. So the first thing is to be a good forgetter and to be able to let go of what you've been and who you are so that you can be ready for a better future. The second step is letting, after you let go, is to learn to fly through the air, to live in that interim period, to appreciate that interim period. As we said, you can't get from today to tomorrow unless you experience tonight. That time to pause, that time to reflect, that time to learn from what you're going through, to think about it, to let yourself ask yourself, what are the values? What's important to me? Who do I want to be? It's a time to re-energize yourself, to reflect on what's important to you, what you really want in life, what the next step is for your life. And this has been a pattern that has developed throughout the centuries. One of the ways that we have an interim period is right now, Sunday, our Sabbath day. Do you know why the Sabbath was important in antiquity? Before the Sabbath was developed by the Hebrews, human beings, whether they were slaves, whether they were laborers, whether they were free persons, whatever, worked 7 days a week. There was no day off. There was no time to rest. And there was this constant feeling that you've got to work, work, work. Sometimes it was imposed on you if you were a slave. But if you were a farmer, worked on a farm, there was no day off. 7 days, every day, no interim period, no day of rest. Until the Hebrews came along, and one of the Ten Commandments became, remember the Sabbath and keep it. Keep it holy. But what was holy about the Sabbath? If you read why the Jews had the Sabbath, it wasn't so you can go to church. Now, going to church is a good thing. I'm not against that. But it was to be a day of rest, refreshment. And the interesting thing about it in the scripture is it doesn't just say you as a person should make it a day of rest, but your animals should get a day of rest. You can't work the animals. You can't ask them to be working. It was a day of rest for everyone, including all the animals. It was that interim period between this week and the next week. So it's been built into our lives. And if you try to rush through your life from here to here without refreshing yourself, without letting yourself experience that interim time, that quiet time, that time to reflect, that time to regenerate your energy and be ready for whatever is next. So that interim period is a very important time. And then, step three. Grab hold of the other trapeze bar, of the new day, of what's ahead of you. Enter the new day when morning has broken. What a beautiful hymn that was for us to sing. To enter into what's next with gusto, with a positive spirit, where you can look forward to what is ahead of you. Start each day as if it is a new day, that something different is going to happen to you in this new day. Look forward to it with enthusiasm. Approach it with enthusiasm, with a sense of anticipation. Don't just wake up and say ho-hum another day and kind of trudge through the day. It's going to be a new day, a different day. Something's going to happen to you in this new day that hasn't happened before. You're going to have some experience, some thought, some feelings. Something's going to happen. It may be a phone call that you didn't expect. It may be an email message or a letter in the mail. It may be some chance encounter with someone. It just may be you will read something that will kind of, you'll say, aha, yeah, that's right. I need to remember that. That's important to me. Whatever it might be, something new is going to be happening. So when you start the new day, refreshed from that interim period, that quiet time between today and the next new day, let yourself enter it saying yes, yes to this day. Yes, this is another day that I get to live upon this earth. Another day that I can experience something in my life. Another day that I can reach out to someone. So a day that I can make a phone call. The day that I can write that little note. That day I can help something happen good for someone else. I like the story about the little boy who went to his first day of school. When he came home, his dad asked him, "Son, how was school?" The little boy said, "Oh, not so good. I have to go back tomorrow." But isn't that really the charm of life? If that little boy could just not go to school anymore after one day, what a tragic, sad experience that would be. The good news is we do have to go back tomorrow. We get to go back tomorrow because there's always something more ahead of us, something to learn in the school of life, more to experience, more to learn, more unknowns, more surprises ahead of us. So the healthy attitude about the day ahead of us is to trust that it will be a good day and hope that it will be another great day in school. You wouldn't want to stay in the first grade, would you, for the rest of your life, for all of your life? What if we said to that little boy after the first grade was over, "You know what? You can stay in the first grade. You can keep repeating the first grade over and over again." What a disservice we would do to that little boy, that child. Goes to the second grade and the third and the fourth, and we never graduate from the school of life until it's over. So we do have today, tonight, and tomorrow. And that's how we deal with it and make sense of the changes of life. Experiencing them, letting go of that first trapeze, being willing to fly through the air. It's a little scary to do that, a little unknown, but it can also be a time of excitement, but a time of reflection, of getting to know yourself, of thinking about what's really important to me. What are my values? What am I living for? And then experiencing the new day, the tomorrow that will come, and saying yes. Yes to life. Yes to truth. Yes to love. So when your life is complete and they ask about your life, they will say, "You said yes, because you knew how to deal with life and the continual changes that are a part of your life, and you made the best of it, because you knew how to live today, tonight, and tomorrow." So may it be.